sound the battle cry, see the poets die, raise the standard high for the Lord. Urge your armor on, stand firm everyone, rest your cause upon his holy word.
Pastor Jason Cooley here with Sound the Battle Cry Radio, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. And I want to bring you something here this week here that I think would be a blessing to you, and I think it'll help you. About 4 years ago or so, I brought this to our church and read this to our church, and it was a blessing to them and to me as well. But it got us to think about some things, and I want to give you a taste of what writers and preachers preached and wrote like back in the late 1600s, or 1638, by the way, here. John Bunyan. I want to talk to you about John Bunyan. Now, John Bunyan was a preacher, a Baptist preacher, actually, that would not take a license to preach from the government. And, you know, he's a great inspiration for many because he obeyed the scriptures, and he went through a lot of torment and torture. In fact, you can listen to his trial that I read and give commentary on. You can listen to that on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. If you go there, you can actually listen to the trial. I read the trial to you, the transcript of the trial, and give some commentary on it as well. And you can listen to that, and how Bunyan was just tortured in jail. Not tortured like beaten or anything like that, but just, you know, they would bring his little daughter up there, his blind daughter, and try to encourage him to come home and take the license and preach, and, you know, take the license, get the permission from the government to preach. And Bunyan wouldn't do it. He was a true Bible believer. He was a Baptist. Anyway, well, I want to read this to you here. It's from 1638. This was preached by John Bunyan. It's called Five Uses by Way of Self-Examination. This was preached by John Bunyan, again, in 1638, to examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Now then, because I would not be too tedious, I shall at this time lay down no more discoveries of such as one as doth savingly believe the scriptures and the things contained in them, but shall speak a few words of examination concerning the things already mentioned, as the first use. Thou sayest thou dost indeed and in truth effectually believe the scriptures. I ask, therefore, wast thou ever killed stark dead by the law of works contained in the scriptures? Killed by the law or letter, and made to see thy sins against it, and left in a helpless condition by that law? For as I said, the proper work of the law is to slay the soul and to leave it dead in a helpless state. For it doth neither give the soul any comfort itself when it comes, nor doth it show the soul where comfort is to be had. And therefore it is called the ministration of condemnation, as in 2 Corinthians 3:9. The ministration of death, verse 7. For though men may have a notion of the blessed word of God, as the children had, yet before they be converted it may truly be said of them, ye err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. So what Bunyan is saying is, has the law slain you? Have you been slain by the law of God? Have you been absolutely killed by it and laid low with no life left in you, destroyed you? This is an examination, he's saying here, to see whether you be in the faith. Number two, the second use. You say you do believe the scriptures to be the word of God. I say again, examine. Wast thou ever quickened from a dead state by the power of the Spirit of Christ, though through the other part of the scriptures? That is to say, by the power of God and his Son Jesus Christ, through the covenant of promise? I tell thee from the Lord, if thou hast, thou hast felt such a quickening power in the words of Christ, that thou hast been lifted out of that dead condition that thou before wast in, and that when thou wast under the guilt of sin, the curse of the law, and the power of the devil, and the justice of the great God, thou hast been enabled by the power of God in Christ, revealed to thee by the Spirit, through and by the Scripture, to look sin, death, hell, the devil, and the law, and all things that are at enmity with thee, with boldness and comfort in the face, through the blood, death, righteousness, resurrection, and intercession of Christ, made mention of in the Scriptures. So his second use is to say, hey, have you ever been quickened from the dead? Is there life inside of you? Have you been brought from death unto life? Are you new in Christ Jesus? What a question. Today, if you ask that, people get offended. Oh, Pastor Cooley preaches that gospel that changes people. He believes the gospel changes people. Yeah, so did every other God-fearing, holy Bible believer that followed the book. They believed the same thing, and so did every other preacher that followed the Word of God and saw it in the Scriptures. Why? Because they experienced it themselves. So does every believer you talk to that's been born of the Spirit. They understand. They know what it means to be dead in trespasses and sins and to be quickened. Remember, the Bible says, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Amen. And the third use, number three, on this account, oh, how excellent are the Scriptures to thy soul. Oh, how much virtue dost thou see in such a promise, in such an invitation. They are so large as to say, Christ will in no wise cast me out. My crimson sin shall be white as snow. I tell thee, friend, there are some promises that the Lord hath helped me to lay hold of Jesus Christ through and by that I would not have out of the Bible, for as much gold and silver as can lie between York and London, piled up in the stars, because through them Christ is pleased by his Spirit to convey comfort to my soul. I say, when the law curses, when the devil tempts, when hell fire flames in my conscience, my sins, with the guilt of them tearing at me, then is Christ revealed so sweetly to my poor soul through the promises that all is forced to fly and leave off to accuse my soul. So also, when the world frowns, when the enemies rage and threaten to kill me, then also the precious, the exceeding great and precious promises do weigh down all and comfort the soul against all. This Scripture's good comfort. This is the effect of the believing of the Scriptures savingly, for they that do so have by and through the Scriptures good comfort, and also ground of hope, believing those things to be its own which the Scriptures hold forth. So, end quote. What is he saying here? He's saying that though the world come against me, though all the forces of hell come against me, though temptations try to take me and overcome me, though my former sins come back to try to haunt me and try to, I have a abiding peace and believing in the promises of God because I've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and I've been forgiven and I have Jesus and I have the Word of God and the Scriptures. They are excellent to my soul because of that. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your trial is, friend, the Scriptures, they give you comfort because you're a child of the living King. Number four, or the fourth use, examine. Dost thou stand in awe of sinning against God? Because he hath in the Scriptures commanded thee to abstain from it? Dost thou give diligence to make thy calling and election sure? Because God commanded it in Scripture? Dost thou examine thyself whether thou be in the faith or no, having a command in Scripture so to do? Or dost thou, notwithstanding what thou readest in the Scripture, follow the world, delight in sin, neglect coming to Jesus Christ, speak evil of the saints, slight and make a mock at the ordinance of God, delight in wicked company and the like? Then know that it is because thou dost not indeed and in truth believe the Scriptures effectually. For as I said before, if a man do believe them, and that savingly, then he stands in awe. He looks to his steps. He turns his feet from evil and endeavors to follow that which is good, which God hath commanded in the Scriptures of truth. Yet not from a legal or natural principle, that is, to seek for life by doing that good thing, but knowing that salvation is already obtained for him by the blood of that man Christ Jesus on the cross, because he believes the Scriptures. Therefore, mark, I pray, therefore, I say, he labors to walk with his God in a well-pleasing and godliness, because the sweet power of the loves of Christ, which he feels in his soul by the Spirit, according to the Scriptures, constrain him so to do. End quote. See, in his fourth use here, he says, do you stand in awe to sin against God? Does it even bother you? Is it a weighty matter for you, or is it not? Why? Not to earn salvation, because the love of Christ, that we've already obtained salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, through His blood. Because we're saved, the love of Christ constraineth us. We can't live as other men live. We can't walk as other men walk. We can't do what other men do. And number five, the fifth use. Examine again. Dost thou labor after those qualifications that the Scriptures do describe a child of God by? That is, faith, yea, the right faith, the most holy faith, the faith of the operation of God. And also, dost thou examine whether there is a real growth of grace in thy soul, as love, zeal, self-denial, and as seeking by all means to attain, if possible, to the resurrection of the dead? That is, not to satisfy thyself until thou be dissolved and rid of this body of death, and be transformed into that glory that the saints shall be in after the resurrection day. And in the meantime, dost thou labor and take all opportunities to walk as near as may be to the pitch, though thou know thou canst not attain it perfectly? Yet I say, thou dost aim at it, seek after it, press towards it, and to hold on in thy race, thou shunnest that which may anyway hinder thee, and also closest in with what may and any way further the same, knowing that that must be, or desiring that it should be, thine eternal frame, and therefore out of love and liking to it thou dost desire and long after it, as being the thing that thou dost most please thy soul. Or how is it with thy soul? Art thou such as one as regard not these things, but rather busy thy thoughts about the things here below, following those things that have no scent of divine glory upon them? If so, look to thyself. Thou art an unbeliever, and so under the wrath of God, and wilt for certain fall into the same place of torment that thy fellows have fallen into before thee, to the grief of thine own soul and thy everlasting destruction. Consider and regard these things, and lay them to thy heart, before it be too late to recover thyself, by repenting of the one and desiring to close in with the other. Oh, I say, regard, for hell is hot. God's hand is up. The law is resolved to discharge against thy soul. The judgment day is at hand. The graves are ready to fly open. The trumpet is near the sounding. The sentence will ere long be passed, and then you and I cannot call time again. End quote. You know, as we look at these things, they're very weighty and powerful things that this preacher brought forth, this man of God that suffered for the Lord's sake and preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and preached it without a license or permission from the government. But take heed to what this preacher said, because what he preached to you was Bible. And listen to him. Look up, read Pilgrim's Progress if you haven't read it. Look up and see who John Bunyan was. He was a man of God that preached the Word of God. And look to your own soul. This is Pastor Jason Gooley with Sound the Battle Cry Radio Ministry, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota.